Hello and welcome to the Green Team. We're a weird little patron spinoff of the Legendarium. We discuss the books and topics our favorite podcast hasn't gotten around to yet. I am Heron Fan, and I'm joined today with Starcast.
Hi.
And today we are talking about short stories. Since this is Starcast's idea, could I ask you what prompted this this quick easy episode?
Well, for once, I just wanted to talk about short stories, kind of, when if it's not obvious. I'm kind of in a spiral with short stories,
spiral.
Yeah, like you can't escape it from it anymore once you started. I think I have read already. I think half of my reading were just short stories this year, short story collections. And so I wanted to make a episode on it, and yeah, you were so nice and said yes.
Sounds good. All right. So shall we start with our discussion questions then?
Well, I have a question for you before that.
Okay.
Yes. Because I also kind of want to know how you got into this, because I think if I'm remembering correctly, it has a funny parallel. I don't know if you may know it.
I shouldn't say that's why I got interested in short stories, but yes, that has given me. Okay, yeah, that's a decent story. Chesky, a mainstay on our Discord server, once joked about doing 365, or maybe it's 31 books on Goodreads in 31 days, and I said, "Why don't you just go for 365 and 365?" And I kind of just went for it. And I was like, hey, I could do it with short stories because they take like sometimes 5-10 minutes to read. Mm. And I'm doing pretty well so far. I think I have over 90 read stories this year. So yeah. I'm on track. And I haven't read that many short stories this month. So I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. No, because Zesky has also the fault to get me into this spiral.
Yeah,
because I don't know if you remember, but in 2022 we had that Discord thing where every month someone hosted and there was a specific theme, and April of that year Zesky hosted and he did short stories, and for 31 days I only read short stories, and after that I was back to normal full-length novels. But I noticed that over the time, for some reason, my books got shorter and shorter and shorter. And then I think 2023 I was like, oh, I am only reading a short stories collection now.
Is that still true?
Mostly, yes.
Wow.
How should I say? I have read a little bit over 20 books, and I think 8 of them are short story collections, and another 3 or 4 are short stories.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we got another question here. It says, where do you find our short stories and where do you think is a good way to start?
Yeah, that's a question that I thought would be interesting to the listeners.
It's a good question.
Yeah, because I thought like it's kind of hard to get into them, especially if you don't know where to start. I, for example, never expected to find like websites, like professional websites and magazines, where they have short stories for free. Like there is a bunch of those, like Uncanny, Lightspeed Magazine, Escape Pod, which is also a podcast. And like, I thought maybe I could just put them in the description so everyone can find them easily.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So if you are listening, I will put all of my resources, like where I find free short stories, like just in the description notes. And other thing I really like short story collections from specific authors, because I think it's a really good way to learn about the author, like get to know their style and their
themes.
Yeah, their themes. Do you have any specific?
You basically took my answer. The way I used to never ever read short stories, I just wasn't interested in them. I think what happened was Reddit Bingo years ago. I did it once and like, okay, read 5 short stories. I'm like, well, these are actually pretty good and I like them a lot. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while I'd pick up a small short story collection, or like you, I would find legally free short stories online. Lately I've been listening to them on YouTube from or on podcasts, which there are lots available. And I've just been searching with short stories by authors that I already know and like, and it's expanding my brain a lot and expanding my horizons and like seeing what they can do. And also just like Googling what are considered some of the best short stories. There's a lot of really good short stories out there. Cool. And,
that reminds me of something, like 2 things specifically. The one thing about authors I can recommend to everyone, if you have a specific author you really like, go to their website where they have their stories listed, and there you can find really easily all the short stories and if they are free or you have to pay for them. That's how I started, really, like with Aliette Bodao and Mary Robinette Cowell.
And a lot of times, even if they're charged, they're incredibly cheap, like a dollar US or something. Mm-hmm.
And wait, what was the other thing I wanted to say? Okay, got it. Because of that, you really want to read just good short stories. Like at the really, really tail end of last year, like it was the first book I finished this year. It was the best American science fiction and fantasy series. And every year they bring out a new collection. And I just started them because I was curious, because how good can they be, like? And oh my God, they're so good. Like, I didn't expect it. It has its problems, like every collection that says it's the best of the best. But just if you just want to read really good short stories, that's also a great starting point, I would say. So I wanted to just throw it out, because a lot of short stories on my list are also from there.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Shall we get into it then?
Yeah.
All right, so my first pick is a very old classic by a famous, very famous author who kind of, I shouldn't say he started a genre, but he is very, very influential, and that is H.P. Lovecraft. And this story, I like Lovecraft. Well, I like his stories, at least. And I've read everything he's ever written, actually. But when I think of Lovecraft, I always go to his novellas first, but finding a short story was not difficult in the least. And I chose The Color Out of Space.
Okay.
If anybody has... Have you ever read Lovecraft?
No, I haven't. I have read people who were inspired by him, but I never read Lovecraft himself.
But so you get the idea of like what he's all about, and like indescribable entities and the smallness of humanity. And it's kind of an existential dread and... very old, ancient, understandable entities controlling. It's very conspiracy-esque. But The Color of Space is a story of a meteorite hits a house and it kind of infects everything. And like, there's this color that's like infecting people, and it's a color they've never seen before. It's a short, very, I don't know, good for what you want from Lovecraft, introduction to Lovecraft, what he's all about. So that's, oh, we should have mentioned that earlier. Like, if you're not sure about an author, but you kind of want to give him a try, short stories are a great way to start.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, I've heard good things about this guy, but I don't want to read like their whole novel, or like, I don't want to read her whole novella or something like that. Then yeah, try a short story by them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I should say, also, I didn't do any repeat authors. So I just did.
Me neither.
Okay.
Yeah. No, just because you mentioned Lovecraft, and I didn't plan to bring up the author, because I already talked a lot about her in another episode. But Sarah Monet has brought out the short story collection, The Bone Key. And I could recommend every short story in there, in very short, it's inspired by Lovecraft, and it's kind of an deconstruction of Lovecraft, and that just reminded me of that, and I really really liked it. It was, I think, on place two, was it? Yeah, I think it was my second favorite book of last year. So just really throwing that out into nothingness.
Good to know. Should I do another pick now, or do you want to?
Yeah, do.
Okay. let's see, what was my second one? I'm quickly getting a reputation on the server as the Gene Wolfe guy. And almost all of the short stories that I read last year were by Gene Wolfe, and he is an incredible writer, and that also extends to his short stories. He has dozens and dozens that I would recommend, but my favorite of all of his short stories I've read so far is called The Death of Dr. Island.
Okay.
The Death of Dr. Island is one of many stories in what people call the Gene Wolfe Archipelago, which also include The Island of the Death Doctor, Dr. Death, The Island of Dr. Death and Other Stories, The Doctor of Death Island. They all include Island, Doctor, and Death in the title. But my favorite is called The Death of Dr. Island, and it's in the distant future, and I don't know, somewhere in our planetary system, and a very disturbed kid finds himself in a rehabilitation facility of a basically space station or an artificial moon of some planet. I don't remember where. Kip will probably kill me. But each patient has specialized therapy just for them. And it explores the ideas of consciousness and identity and reality and theogony, or like the nature of good and evil. And it's really, really, really interesting and actually quite moving. So that sounds interesting to anyone else. I think you should check it out.
I really should read more Gene Wolfe. I think I have only read, the first part of Shadow of the Torturer.
It's a hard place to start. It's where most people start, though.
It kind of broke me at the time.
It's not easy. It's hard to recommend people to start with short stories, especially because a lot of them are so difficult to find. But I think especially with Wolf, it's so many people go, they're like, oh, The Shadow of the Torture, it's really well regarded, and we hear it's a genius and all this stuff. It's like really hard and really hard to get into. So and maybe try a short story.
Yeah. And I think I have heard you have to get to the end to really appreciate it, even. Wasn't it?
I wouldn't say that. Knowing the ending and getting to the end does, what Gene Wolfe likes to do is he likes to flip the way you thought about everything that came before several times throughout the story. So at like some point through book one, you realize something, and then like the way you thought about something from before is completely changed. And then he'll do that again and again and again. And that happens at the end as well. So, yep.
Okay. So, well, now really my first one.
Okay.
So I have chosen The Six Deaths of the Saint by Alex E. Harrow. And well, it's best to go in blind, as it's kind of hard to explain it without spoilers, but I'll try. It's basically about a young girl who can see a saint who is the saint of war. And at the very start of the short story, she gets picked up by a prince who makes her his knight. And everything else I would be saying would be spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's you have to go in pretty blind because there are a lot of twists there. And okay. it's just really interesting because it uses a lot of interesting storytelling methods. I also can't really talk about them because spoilers. But one of them I can say it uses really interestingly is the use of the second person. I cannot even continue because spoilers.
All right.
Yeah, but I can talk about the themes a little bit.
Okay.
And it talks about about war, about war crimes, manipulation, emotional abuse, and abuse, and redemption, like all of those things. And it's
sounds
really
up my alley. I might check it out.
Yeah, yeah. But like, you can either read it on Kindle normally. Like, it came out in the. Do you know the Amazon short stories collections, or like you cannot really call it collections, but they're like they have a theme, and then that there's they take some authors and say, hey, can you write something for us? And then you have like a series kind of standalone short stories.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. And this one is called Into the Shadow.
Into the Shadow. Cool.
Yeah.
I that sounds interesting. I might check it out.
Yeah, yeah. And where you also can find it is in the Best American Science Fiction and Fantasy Short Story Collection of 2024.
Oh, wow. Okay. So did it come out this year or last year?
2023. Free.
Okay.
2024 comes out this year.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It always talks about the short stories from the year ago.
Before. Yeah.
Yeah, before.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So my third pick is Harrison Bergeron by Kurt Vonnegut. I think most people know Kurt Vonnegut from Cat's Cradle and Slaughterhouse 5.
I haven't heard any of them.
But you've heard of them, yeah?
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever heard of them.
Slaughterhouse 5 is the story of a man who's like unstuck in time, and he suffered like post-traumatic stress disorder from the bombing of Dresden in World War II. And he's constantly living every single moment in time, like at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a metaphor for PTSD and war and trauma. It's really good, and it's really funny, and it's ridiculous. So Kurt Vonnegut, it does like sci-fi in a very satirical way. And Harrison Bergeron's the same way. Harrison Bergeron takes place in a dystopian nightmare future where equality is government mandated. So, for example, really smart people have to wear like dumbing down agents on their head, and like tall people have to like get shortened. And see what else they got. Oh, like sometimes really athletic people have to wear like heavy clothes, so they have to slow down or something like that. So it's a satirical take on egalitarianism and oppression and regimes and consequences. And I like it. I think it's funny. Check it out.
Mm. Oh, that does sound interesting. Oh. My next one is a little bit weird. Like, it's Zinda's Whale by Kelly Link. I don't know if you have heard of her. Okay. Kelly Link is a very prolific and, well, in a way, highly regarded, like in the industry, but not a lot of people know her. Like, you can imagine her a little bit like Ted Chiang. Was that his
okay.
name? Yeah, like Ted Chiang in the kind of industry regard, also like how highly regarded she is. She's just not as well known in the general public.
I need to read Chiang. I've heard nothing but good things, and he writes short stories, I should have read some of his stuff before.
Well, I have only read one of his short stories, and I have just bought his short story collection, his first one, and I have to start it.
I hear it's very good, so.
Yeah. But we are talking about Kelly Link now.
Yeah.
This short story is in her newest short story collection, White Cat, Black Dog, which is basically a short story collection about retellings. And this specific retelling is from Red Rose, White Rose? Is that the English name?
Red Rose, White Rose. I don't know. I haven't heard of it.
Oh, forgot it. Like, I know this story very well because it's very well known in Germany, but I didn't know a lot of the other ones. Is it that one? No. Or was it just what was? Like the story about two sisters who find a bear, Snow White and Rose Red.
Snow White and Rose Red?
Yes.
Ah, here it is. Okay. I'm not familiar with it, no.
Okay. I think it was the only fairy tale I recognized in that short story collection. Yeah, I think so. But basically, it follows a student trying to do his final project. But because of, how should I say this? Because his roommate has a new girlfriend and isn't very silent, he can't concentrate, and he takes up the offer of an old friend to go watch over an old cabin in the woods, and it just gets weirder from there.
Cool.
Yeah, like the girlfriend is haunted by a ghost, and in the cabin there are random people who come out come at night or in the day, and he has to let them in and such stuff, and it just gets very weird, but it's also very interesting. And themes, I have no idea. I have really no idea. Like, all of her short stories are just very, very weird, and in a way, very, very obscure. Like, you would have to know the themes to understand what the themes are, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But just the way she writes is enough to capture me and hold me interested in the short story.
Well, that can pull a lot of weight. Cool. Next.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my next pick is an oldie but a goodie. I only recently read this year, and I wish I had read it sooner, because people talk about this short story all the time as one of the best of all time, and they are totally and absolutely correct. And it is The Ones Who Walk Away from Omelas by Ursula K. Le Guin. I'd rather not spoil it, but it's a heartbreaking tale that had me in tears by the end. But the story is entirely fabricated. I mean, all stories are fabricated, obviously, but it's explicitly fabricated by the narrator to the audience as a thought experiment. And even though it's a thought experiment, her excellent, incredible prose and thought-provoking themes had me, like I said, in tears by the end. And I could not recommend it enough. You can find it anywhere. Please check it out. It'll take like 10 minutes.
My next one. It's A Witch's Fire by E. Lily Yu. And it's a very bleak story. And how should I? It's basically about the resurgence of the witch fires in the near future in America, and how fast it basically can go down from equality. And it's in the short story collection Jewel Box by E. Lily Yu. And it talks about propaganda, government corruption, violence against women, also kind of religious warfare in a way. But you like, that's kind of a stretch, I would say. So the last one.
Okay. Yeah. Can you tell me the title again?
It should be called Witch's Fire.
Witch's Fire, okay.
But I can.
I love Holy Wars.
Like, it's not quite Holy Wars. It's basically a man has a vendetta against woman, and so he creates a cult, and he builds an incinerator. And then he goes around America incinerating women in the public.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very bleak. It's very bleak. But it's also incredibly well written.
I like bleak. I prefer well written, but I like bleak. Yeah. All right. My next is from your neck of the woods. I chose The Hunger Artist by Franz Kafka.
Mm.
Have you read Kafka?
No,
neither. I'm a big fan of Kafka. Mm-hmm. I know I might get in trouble for this, but he's kind of considered by many to be the progenitor of the magical realism movement. And he wrote in a very Kafkaesque style. So he kind of wrote about bureaucracy and hell and how life is just hell and absurd. And he's caught up in modernism in the modern world. And The Hunger Artist is not so much that as it is like a meditation on art, the artists and the audience, and how they interact with each other, and how audiences often pray and eat the artists, metaphorically speaking, of course. Yeah, it's beautifully written. Its atmosphere is incredible, and the I forgot what I was going to say, but it's good. Check it out.
Mm. Yeah. But that fits with my next story.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's The Passing of the Dragon by Ken Liu.
I have him on my list too.
Yeah. He has some really good short stories. Like, Ken Liu's
amazing.
I'm always trying to get to his short story collection, but for whatever reason, I can't get through it, even though I enjoy all of his short stories. At this point, it's really a curse. Yeah. But this specific short story follows an artist who sees an dragon, and then she paints a piece about dragon. And at first, it kind of fades in obscurity until it randomly goes viral. And then it kind of follows the fallout of that. So it's not a lot of fantasy or even science fiction. It's a lot more magical realism in a way. And that's only in the beginning. But I was just so captured by it. Because it kind of talked about about a lot of themes that are kind of important in our current world, like artist blog, social media, mental health, like all of those things, and how mental health can be challenged by social media, and how the intention of the artist can be really quickly misconstrued over social media, and the good and bad about those things, and just in general, what social media plays in our current political world, I would say.
Something I love about Ken Liu is his ability to not only tug at your heartstrings, but when he tackles a theme or an idea, he does it with such nuance. And it's more of something that he wants you to think about because he's thinking about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting. I'm still not quite sure if I agree with everything said in the short story, but I just found it really interesting to think about it.
Well, those are the best ones in my opinion.
Yeah. it just challenges you to think, and I think that's just important.
Yeah. All right, my next one is Leaf by Niggle by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Mm-hmm.
I think if nobody's heard of Tolkien, maybe Google him. Quite famous. But Leaf by Niggle is kind of a story. It kind of feels like a G.K. Chesterton story. I've only read one of his, but looking back now, I can see how quite similar they are and how there's a lot of levels of metaphorical content and theology working on top of each other, especially ideas of the afterlife. But this whole thing is about tackling motivation and work and procrastination and artistry. And it's a short read, and it's very good. I think it's worth a read.
Yeah. Yeah. So my next one is John Hollowback and the Witch by Amal El-Muhtar. And
he did that story with This Is How You Lose the Time War?
Yes, that's one of the authors. Yes.
Yeah. He did it with Craft Sequence guy, Max Gladstone. Yeah.
Max Gladstone, yes. And that short story it's more of a novelette, I think. But it's about a man called John who has a hole in his back, like really a hole.
In his back?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the reason he's called Hollowback. And he has to go to a witch to fix it. And to do this, he has to relive memories. And it goes from there. And it's in the anthology, The Book of Witches. And it touches upon a lot of themes like toxic masculinity, how should I say this? Envy in general, and abuse, also mainly emotional abuse and manipulation, those kinds of things. And it was a really, really great read. It was very easy to read and beautiful to read. And I'm really excited for the author's next work, because I know she has a novella in the works, and it comes out either this year or next year. So yay!
Have you read anything else by her except This Is How You Lose the Time War and this story?
I have read another short story by her. Like, she hasn't a lot of works out, so there isn't a lot to read. But I have read, I think, two short stories by her, and This Is How You Lose the Time War.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, my next pick is also by Ken Liu. Mm-hmm. This is a very, very special and a very personal story for me because it directly is, more than most things I've read, very directly related to things in my own life. And we we, as in Ash, myself, and Panda, did a talk with the Critical Dragon on YouTube about this short story. And I cannot recommend that video and the short story highly enough. I think it's incredible. And I think if anybody reads it and they are not reduced to tears by the end, they might not have a heart. But it's The Paper in a Menagerie by Ken Liu. And it's about an American boy whose mother is Chinese. And he gets bullied and his relationship with his mother, and he gets older. And I don't want to say anything more, but it's some emotional stuff.
My next one is Angel Monster Man by Sam J. Miller. And it follows three queer friends who sit down and accidentally create a new entity.
Like a homunculus?
Complicated. Like, okay. the title is kind of refers to that. Like Angel Monster Man. And yeah, so it's kind of complicated to explain. And but you can basically read it in the short story collection Boys, Beasts, and Men by Sam J. Miller.
Yeah.
And I can't quite remember, but I think it takes place during the AIDS crisis also. So it uses a lot of themes of that time, and there's a lot of rage and anger in the short story about the time. And yeah, I don't want to say too much about it because you should go into it kind of blind, I would say, to really experience the emotions the characters felt.
My next story is A Rose for Ecclesiastes by Roger Zelazny. And it's a colonial story about colonizing Mars and interacting with the Martians. And the Martian culture is on a decline, maybe because people came, maybe not. And kind of how these two groups interact with each other. But it's also kind of about finding meaning and about language and time debt, mortality, that kind of thing. Like most Roger Zelazny stuff, it's very beautifully written. And it's interesting. Roger's stuff is always really, really interesting. And it also is often about religion or thought-provoking themes are always present in his stories.
The next one I chose is kind of a departure in the sense it's a lot more about just fun in a way. Like, it has its themes, of course, but it's a lot more funny in a way. And it's As Good as New by Charlie Jane Enders. And it follows a woman who survived the apocalypse as the last living human on Earth. And the question is what happens if that woman then finds a genie? And it kind of goes from there. And yeah. You can find a short story in the collection Even Greater Mistakes by Charlie Jane Enders. And like the themes are kind of more personal to the character. Like it isn't really about the apocalypse, but more about the character. Like again, artist block, kind of self-doubt, second chances, those kinds of things. Yeah.
I need to read more genie stories because I always like them.
Yeah. I also had to look up what word she used. Like I had to get my short story collection out and page through it to be sure to use the correct one, because I just know there are different words for genie, or in general for Middle Eastern mythological creature. I don't want to say monsters.
Mythology, creatures.
Yes.
Mythological beings.
Yes, yes, yes. I just don't want to say monsters because they aren't really monsters. They are a lot more nuanced than that. Because I don't know a lot about them, but I know there are different words kind of depending on the region, like genie, djinn. Like, I don't really know the difference between all of them, but I just wanted to make sure that I had a right one in this case.
Oh, I didn't know there were a difference. I just thought it was different spelling for the same thing.
I'm not sure either. Like, I just have heard that it's important to use the right word for what's used in the story always, because there's some kind of difference there.
I see. All right. My next story is Adieu by Connie Willis. Connie Willis is most famous for her, was it Gale? No, she did like To Say Nothing of the Dog and Doomsday Book, like her time travel series. But this is kind of a satirical take on censorship and political correctness. So it follows it. It's very, very short, but I thought it was hilarious and I really liked it. So I'm sharing it. And it follows a teacher in the not so distant future where like literally everything in their English class is challenged by outside forces, whether it be mothers or whether it be I made a list of some of the people who are making complaints about, usually Shakespeare, which is where the title comes from. Like they couldn't do Richard III because Richard killed some children in the story, and they couldn't do Midsummer Night's Dream because it has witchcraft. All of the historical plays were banned because the Royal Society for the Restoration of the Divine Right of Kings complained. Taming of the Shrew was no good because of the Angry Woman's Alliance. Morticians internationally objected on the grounds of people just dying, I guess. And then, like, environmental groups were complaining that somebody carved their names in the tree. Sword enthusiasts were objecting to people calling, saying swords kill because people kill people, not swords. And so, like, it's just like joke on joke on joke on ridiculousness on ridiculousness on ridiculousness, but it still kind of hits close to home. So check it out. It's short. Censorship, no good.
My next one is Colors of the Immortal Palette by Caroline M. Valente. Oh, God. I'm so sorry. Well, I definitely said it wrong, I think. I'm so sorry.
Sorry?
But it's basically about a female model who, also in the, I think, 1900s, was it? Maybe 2000s, somewhere along the line. Who wants to step out of her role as a muse and become a well-known artist. And regardless of the cost, it kind of about immortality and love and equality in the sense of having the same job opportunities and how with time a lot of things can get better, and also how should I say this without spoiling anything? I won't say anything because I think that's gonna spoil it. But you can basically you can read it for free on the Uncanny Magazine website, or you can read it in physical in the 2022 edition of Best American Science Fiction Series.
Good to know. Ooh, sounds up. Sounds good. My penultimate choice. Also, by the way, mine are not ranked. I just kind of wrote them down in order of like me remembering them. Mm-hmm. So my penultimate choice was Speech Sounds by Octavia Butler. Butler is most famous for Kindred, which is so good and so messed up and will make you cry. And she also did The Parable of the Sower and Parable of the Talents. This story is more similar to probably The Parable of the Sower. It takes place in a post-apocalyptic world in which a virus has destroyed people's ability to speak and understand. It follows a woman who can still speak and understand people, and she meets a guy who's immune, but he's really, really violent, and it's kind of about empathy and communication and civilization. Check it out. I mean, if you're just even a little bit curious about Octavia Butler, it's a pretty good bite-sized chunk of what it's all about.
Yeah. I have only read, I think, Blood Children is the name from the short story.
Blood Magic?
The one where humans are on a different planet and they have kind of a symbiotic relationship with, not symbiotic, just a relationship with the aliens there, and it's kind of about pregnancy.
Cool. I don't know, but it sounds cool.
Okay. Yeah. That one was interesting, definitely, but it's not my next one. Yeah. No, my next one is The Thief Come Out at Night by Sammy Ellis. And it's about a female student who has to steal teeth from children and sell them so she can stay afloat and afford her college bills. And one day, suddenly, all the teeth she harvests begin to rot. And yeah, it just goes from there.
Teeth begin to rot?
Yeah, they begin to rot, like, almost immediately.
Gross.
Yeah, and it goes from there, kind of. And you can find the short story collection in the anthology All These Sunken Souls. And it talks about poverty, student death, what you are willing to do in those kinds of crises. Yeah.
Ooh. All right. Shall I share my last pick? I chose Thus We Frustrate Charlemagne by R.A. Lafferty. I wish I had read R.A. Lafferty sooner. The dude is obviously very smart, much smarter than I am. Mm-hmm. But Thus We Frustrate Charlemagne is actually a really, I don't want to say whimsical, but it's kind of like absurdist and kind of funny. It's really funny. It's kind of like a story of people discussing changing the past. And it, like, every time that they change the past, they don't remember that they changed the past. And so, like, you only get, like, their POV, and, like, they're like, okay, well, I think we're going to go to the 1400s, and we're going to change this little thing, and that's going to have this kind of effect. And then the next scene, they're like, well, that didn't work. From our perspective, it obviously worked, because they're talking about all this stuff that's different from, like, a couple minutes ago. It's really funny, kind of, like, about free will determinism and historical causality and that kind of thing. Yeah, it's good. I really like it. And it's funny.
Yeah. My last one is The Captain and the Quartermaster by Cyril Clarke. And it follows two women who are both in the rebellion against the tyrants, and they fall in love in the process.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And how should I say? I never read a short story of that kind. Like, I don't know how much I should say without spoiling too much, but I haven't ever read this kind of character relationship progression kind of thing, like how the relationship progressed, and I really, really liked how the relationship progressed, and I need more of it. Yeah. But you can read it for free on the Beneath the Ceaseless Guys website. And you can read it in one of the best American science fiction and fantasy series. But I can't remember which one right now.
I like how you tell everybody where they can read it. I'm not doing that at all.
Yeah, I just thought, yeah, it's easier than now to find where to find it. Yeah. But it discusses the themes of war, queer relationships, also toxic relationships, and a lot more.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based on your description, I think I'm going to check out at least a few of your shared short stories. So thank you.
Yeah.
So before we go, we got one more question. StarCast, if you could decide any author who could bring out a new short story collection, who would it be? and presumably why.
Okay, I have three offers I really want to see more of. Two of them haven't won out yet. One of them has already. But for once, it's the Clark, also the author who wrote The Captain and the Quartermaster. And I just really want to see more short stories of this kind from her, and just in general with different queer relationships. And I really hope she brings out such a short story collection maybe one day.
I hope so.
Yeah. Also, Arkady Martin, the author of the Tykes Kalan duology, a memory of empire and a desolation called peace. And I just really love her writing style and the way she world builds. So I just want to have more worlds from her and like in the way that I can sink my teeth in, just, yeah. And the last one is N.K. Jemisin, because I really enjoyed her last short story collection and I really want more from her.
Which was that called?
Hmm?
What was that short story collection called?
Wait, I have written it down. How Long Till Black Future Month?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, yeah.
Do you have
I don't really have anything off the top of my head. I want a short story collection from my favorite author, Steven Erikson, who has always said that he is a short story author, and that he learned his writing short stories, and that The Molasson Book of the Fallen is like a collection of short stories, but he hasn't released any of his short stories. We have some of his novellas that are quite long, and I love them, but yeah, I would love to see a short story collection from Steven Erikson. I doubt he's listening, but Steve, if you're listening, please give us a short story collection. It doesn't have to be Molasson, it could be anything. I'll read it.
It doesn't even have to be long.
Yeah, it needs to be short, actually. That's part of the
deal. More like it doesn't have to be a lot of short stories. I think the shortest ones I have seen are a little more than 200 pages.
Yep, that's the idea. All right, so shall we stop there?
We can stop here.
All right, Stargast, it's been a pleasure. I gotta say goodbye. So that concludes this episode. You can find us in the Legendarium's Discord. Please come. It's a lot of fun. Everyone's nice. We got Twitter. We got Patreon. Just use Google. You guys know how to do Google. Thanks to Harris, Horizon Brave. Thanks to Jingle Punks, who wrote our music. And my name is Aaron, and I'm here with Starcast.
Yeah, bye.